It's time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Every time I listen to that opening, I always want to give Paul King a shout-out. He's created the intros, the outros, and helps raise the bar here a bit. And it's so important we do that because there's so many podcasts coming out right now, and they're pushing the bar up. And we're just thrilled to have so many coming into the market. You know, recently, Dave Savage, Ryan Hill, and I did a podcast together on Dave Savage's channel, and it was so much fun. We were talking about, all three of us have been doing this for over 10 years, and it was really fun. And we were talking about content. So go ahead over to Dave Savage's, Google it. I'll put a link to that interview in our show notes, or I'll have Paul do that, and then so you can listen to it. There's a lot of great content that we've been all putting out there. And we're thrilled to have you as a listener. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. You're going to love this. I was talking to someone who walked up to me at one of the recent conferences I was at, and they go, "Is in Seattle at the Lenders One conference." They go, "Hey, look, we've got a new measurement in hiring people. We ask them, what podcast do you listen to?" And they go, what's a podcast? And she goes, well, if they have a response, they're automatically X'd out of the deal. And he says, and if they say they're listening to your podcast, that goes to the top of our list. So I want to say thank you to all of our listeners that make this podcast possible. So grateful to have you here. And we also want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. We have, of course, we're part of the Industry Syndicate. Check out industrysyndicate.com. But we're really grateful for our sponsors, which is the Mortgage Bankers Association of America and the Community Mortgage Lenders of America. Both associations we're thrilled to be a part of, as well as Black Knight, today's competitive market. It is critical for lenders to deliver decision-quality business intelligence to the right employees at the right time. The answer to this demand is Black Knight's solution they call Actionable Intelligence Platform, delivering data that drives growth and reduces costs. To learn more about the intelligence this platform solution can provide, check out blackknightinc.com. Also, special shout out to Tyler, our good friend Tyler Sherman, who's over there at Black Knight, was originally with Motivity, now running this division there at Black Knight. Also, Open Mortgage, Scott Gordon and his team is a leading buyer of reverse mortgages in the country, and they're home with some of the top LOs. Thrilled to have a mortgage company as a sponsor. Also, Finastra. Finastra's Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses the compliance issues that you're all dealing with. It enhances the borrower satisfaction, increases productivity. Check out on our website what they provide. Then also, our latest sponsor is Resex, which is the warehouse lending division of United Bank. Listen to the Ken Jones interview we did on July 22nd. Conversation about warehouse lending and annual inspections or annual certifications or annual reviews. Very good information there in that podcast. And then we're part of two mortgage collaboratives. So one is the Mortgage Collaborative, and the other one is the Lenders One Collaborative. We're part of both of them, and they create mortgage opportunities or connection opportunities at a more intimate level. We love the MBA conferences, but if you're looking for a way to get up close and personal to each one of these, we encourage you to check out both of these networks. Then also, I want to encourage you to check out Velma, which is an efficient mortgage marketing platform, as well as KnowledgeCoop, which is a great training platform, and Vidyard, which is a great video platform. I want to say our special guest today is Darius. Very excited to have Darius here with us. He is the CEO of The Money Source, and very excited to have him here, and we'll be introducing him later in the podcast. One of the things I want to say is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is now considering alternatives to the FICO score, and they're doing it VantageScore. So that is very encouraging. So VantageScore sent over, Jeff Richardson sent over a notification saying VantageScore is actually now being considered by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That is very, very exciting. Check out the interview that we did with the folks there at VantageScore. Without further ado, let's get over to Rob Van Ramphorst with this week's MBA Mortgage Minute.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Ramphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, FHA published a mortgagee letter which gives additional guidance regarding its condominium project approval final rule. The rule now allows lenders to make FHA financing available for units in condominium projects that are not approved by the FHA. This is provided that FHA has not financed more than 10% of the units in the project. FHA will hold an open briefing call on September 10th to help interested parties better understand the new requirements. Also, last week, Ginnie Mae sent a news release detailing the securitization path for so-called VA orphaned loans. Ginnie Mae noted that VA refinances with applications taken on or before May 30th, 2018 that met all requirements in place at the time will now be eligible for securitization. The securitization of these loans was made possible by the recent enactment of the Protecting Affordable Mortgages for Veterans Act of 2019. This is the MBA-supported legislation that corrected the 2018 technical error. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Appreciate that, Rob. Good job on getting us an update from the MBA. If you're not a member of MAA, Mortgage Action Alliance, I encourage you to do so. You can go in and have your voice be heard and have it make a difference in our industry. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to become a member of MAA and have your voice heard. You can download the app at your favorite app store. Be sure to get registered with Mortgage Action Alliance so you can have your voice heard. Let's get over to Les Parker with the macro view of the markets in this week's TM Spotlight. I'm always interested in the music parody that Les puts together. What you got for us, Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by Ainsworth Advisors. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Though the curve's inverted, keep them loans rolling. Ride high. The market whips remain China, 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 and slow down, slow down, slow down. The dust clouds roll along the leverage trail, blazed by sovereign debt issuers and central bankers. The global economic slowdown and China's disingenuous words spook the naive. Some panic as China's copycat of G4 central bank's policies fail to stimulate its economy. Meanwhile, back at the old homestead, will lenders keep riding the bull market to round up more production? Why not? Ride them in. Ride high. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
So, cracks me up. So how do you put a Western theme and talk about China, China, China? Anyway, that was actually well done, Les. Love what Gary Kentrebone does. That was very, very good. Joe Farr, good to have you here with us, my friend.
Thank you.
Listening to put a little rawhide in the background here of your presentation. Yeah. But anyway, good to have you here, Fred. What you got for us?
Yeah,
what's going on in the market today?
MBS prices are up just a little bit. But right now, the yield curve's inverted. The two-year yields are slightly higher than the 10-year yields. But unlike Wednesday, August 14th, when it inverted for the first time, and there was a big market sell-off, the market doesn't seem to care this time.
I thought that was most interesting.
Stocks are up a little bit today, 250 points today. And when you look at last week's net change, even though there was a big sell-off late in the week, you know, we're about where we were to begin or to end the week before last. So, again, volatility, but not a lot of net movement. Over this weekend, Dave, President Trump announced that China had requested to resume the trade negotiations, and that has had a positive effect on stocks primarily. As I mentioned, they're up 250 points so far today. The economic data that came out today was July durable orders, and it exceeded expectations. However, much of that had to do with transportation orders. And when you block that out, because that's a very volatile number, ex-transportation, the number is really a little weaker than expected. Switching to last week, you know, last week was a lot like the 2 weeks prior. MBS prices were volatile, but ended with very little net change. The market has remained focused on the same things, trade negotiations, geopolitical concerns, and central banker comments. For the week last week, MBS prices fell a little, and the stock market fell a little, as I mentioned, a couple hundred points. The escalating tensions between Trump and China was really the only mover last week. The Trump tariffs were matched by China on Friday, which again caused that big stock market sell-off.
Right.
Yeah, you just have to say expectations for a trade deal remain fluid. Who knows, from day to day, just like today, some positive comments have had a positive effect on the stock market. Fetcher Powell gave a speech at Jackson Hole last week. Yeah, it didn't cause a big reaction because he said pretty much what people expected him to. Yeah, he did say that global economic outlook was deteriorating and that the Fed stands ready to cut rates as appropriate to sustain economic growth. So, you know, he didn't mention anything about future rate cuts or number of rate cuts. The market still thinks there are two or three rate cuts before the end of the year likely to come. So we'll see if that happens. The economic data that came out last week had very little impact on MBS prices. The housing data that came out was mixed. Existing home sales were up more than expected, which was good to see. But new home sales came in a little below expectations, although June was revised higher, so the average didn't fall too much. And then the minutes of the Fed meeting from July 31st really had no new information to cause much reaction. And then looking at the data this week, Dave, or the market this week, there is some important economic data to come out. You know, it includes consumer confidence tomorrow.
Yep.
On Thursday, we'll get a second look at the second quarter GDP. No changes expected there. And then also pending home sales come out for July on Thursday, and they're expected to show a little slowdown from what have been very good months in May and June. The big economic event will come on Friday when the July core PCE comes out. It's expected to show a 10th increase in the annual inflation rate over the year. But don't expect any of that to have much of an impact on mortgage rates. Again, the focus is going to remain on the trade talks and geopolitical issues, of which we have many.
Yes, and they be fascinating drama going out there. I heard there was my wife was just before I came out to do the podcast. She goes, "Hey, Trump's tough talk has got them saying they're willing to negotiate now." So we'll see what that goes.
Well,
the latest back and forth.
But then you hear somebody from China saying they are unaware of any effort to reach out to the U.S. to have those increased talks. So,
July core PCE, personal consumption expenditures, will be most interesting. Consumers are buying. That's a good thing. Joe, thanks so much. Oh, I thought that the biggest thing I watched over the weekend was a news blurb by an interview. Steve Mnuchin, who rarely comes on. He's the U.S. Secretary. Yeah, Treasury right. Secretary. Steve Mnuchin, when Trump treaded up, that Powell and the Treasury are the Powell and the Feds are enemies, and I thought he dialed that back. I got the biggest charge out of that. He was saying he is just a Mr. Cool Cucumber Mnuchin. I really like Mnuchin. I think he's doing a great job in there. So, but his boss out tweeting that Powell's the enemy. I've got to tell you, he says I meet with Powell every week. He says he's not the enemy. That's not what he meant by that. He dialed it back, did a real good job of that, but I got a big chuckle out of that. Anyway, thanks so much. Appreciate you, Joe, being here.
Sure,
stay
Jeff.
All the way in with the interview with Darius a little bit later on. Looking forward to it.
I will. Thanks.
All right. You bet. Let's take a quick break. Go out to Scott Gordon of Open Mortgage, who is talking about the science of sales.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. Today I want to examine the third and final essential element your story must have, an honest struggle. Your hero must struggle to overcome the relevant challenge that you have laid before them and is essential for good storytelling. Think of real-life supermen that you've encountered. Not the comic characters, but braggarts who you encounter in the real world. Have you ever heard this? Yeah, I started managing the office 2 years ago. Sales were down, originators were slacking on the job, and corporate couldn't decide how to process a loan. But as soon as I took over, I showed them how it was done. Now we close more loans during the holidays than other branches do in summer. First, this guy is annoying. But second, where's the struggle? What obstacles did he really have to overcome? He simply walked through the door and supermanned his office to success. It's just not a good story because it's missing the struggle, one of the three key elements. So with a relatable hero, a relevant challenge, and an honest struggle, you can construct a simple story that leads to a worthy lesson over and over, turning you into a true story seller. Next time, we'll look at how to structure these elements in the most effective way to maximize your stories and your service. might sound too good to be true, but it's not. It's the science of sales.
That's good. I love that. That is so true. We talk about a struggle. We talk about a story. And I have a coaching client, Alcova Mortgage in Virginia. I have the honor, privilege, and privilege of coaching the three owners and then the executive team. And we're talking about this very thing, the importance of a story. Are you telling it well? It can draw people into it. Otherwise, it's just, what do you say? Alice, Alvy, good to have you here with us. How are you doing? Thanks so much for hosting the podcast last week. You did an awesome job. Much appreciated.
Well, thanks, Dave. Hopefully you can hear me because, you know what, I think I took myself off of mute too soon. It might have been typing, so people were going, what is that clicking?
I was hearing you typing, so I went and muted you. I was wondering. I was muting different ones in and out, so I was going, uh-oh, what happened? Anyway.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. I usually, do the double, triple mute. And anyway, all right.
Well,
what I wanted to talk with our listeners about today is the proposed rule from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that's aiming at, and really I should clarify that, it's an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, which means we're going to ask first before we propose something. So this is actually the most important stage to get involved with, because it's the opportunity to comment early before they actually try and put even more framework around what defines a qualified mortgage. So what everyone needs to be aware of first is that the due date is September 16th. That would be your last day to file a comment. You can file comments through federalregulations.gov. I was noticing today that you can't file a comment through the CFPB website because this is a federal regulation change. The biggest thing I think that impacts many originators and those of you on the call who are in the industry is the 43% DTI that it currently exists for when a loan is not a Fannie or Freddie approved loan. And then, of course, what we all refer to as Appendix Q, which essentially is all the income guideline requirements on how to calculate that DTI. And the industry is working on, all right, well, how do we want to respond to this? Do we want to go back and say, completely eliminate a DTI? We don't need it. Any number you put in writing is going to become a brick wall for auditors, and it'll be very difficult for lenders to get comfortable with going over, and then it'll always be the question of how far can you go over and still be okay. So there's a lot going on with just even coming up with a number. So a lot of folks are saying, get rid of the number altogether. And then you don't even need Appendix Q. There is an argument for that, actually. As I was thinking about this, for those of you who remember the timing, not maybe a lot of folks on the call don't remember the timing, but those of us who were living it, this actually came out before the Dodd-Frank Act. And in the Dodd-Frank Act, we have a lot of new things since this came out. The industry really went through a big transformation, has a lot more risk protection, a lot more transparency as a result of Dodd-Frank for what investors can see in securities. And then, of course, from an underwriting standpoint, there are a lot of underwriting guidelines that lenders can use as a basis, or that even regulators could use as a basis between Fannie, Freddie, and all the govvie agencies. You know, so there's plenty in the industry that we could make a case for that says if you've used a readily acceptable standard or you've developed your own standard based on information that you've learned through your own servicing experience. You know, Dave, Andy, and I, we've all worked with lenders and community banks who know their customers well and have very unique underwriting requirements that work just fine for them, and they have great performing portfolios. So I think the key in the responses, folks, I've read a few that have been posted. There's only been 13 posted so far. So everyone's thinking about this very deeply right now. Very few have responded yet. I'm hoping you all get out your typewriters and start pulling this together. Yeah, time to respond. But think very much about that. When you make it personal, like as a loan originator, I won't be able to make a living, that doesn't resonate with CFPB. No. They want to hear your statistics. So one gentleman did put in, this would impact 30% of my production. That's a good thing to say. That would be a good indicator about the impact to consumers if you were to say 43 is a hard number. But they're not going to care about your personal paycheck as a result. There was also an interesting comment from a consumer who responded, and they actually prompted some good discussion that maybe this is more about servicing than it is about the origination of the loan. So as you think about solutions, think, well, is it not so much just the layers of risk and origination, it's how we service. My ultimate thing that seems to hit me the most when I think about if we get rid of, is anybody going to agree to get rid of it? I don't think that card's on the table. That's kind of like you want to bargain that way to try and end up at a high DTI, as opposed to you're coming in with something reasonable. And ultimately, if you say ARMs, option ARMs were the issue in qualifying, or a very major issue. And so could the DTI standard apply only to high-risk products and have it just in a small slice of the market as opposed to the entire market. So I encourage everyone to start thinking this through, talk about what are some real alternatives. The Mortgage Bankers Association has their draft outline in play that is circulating. I won't share that with everybody here, but you can reach out to the MBA directly if you're interested or participate in their various committees. But the industry is starting to try and pull together what we think we can get through, and everyone should put ideas out on the table so that we're all thinking at this advanced stage. So that's my 2 cents for today, Dave. We really got to get a call to action from the industry to come up with some ideas.
Come on, industry. Wake up. Get up there. Listen to Alice. Yeah, it's so important. I mean, if we don't get the feedback, and then we wonder, why do these things come to pass? You know, wake up, every one of you, that we have thousands of listeners. If just 10% of you, and that means you listening to this, you get on there and take action. I want every one of our listeners I want to chide them to get into doing something about this, Alice. Good admonition to do so. Thank you, Alice. Appreciate you. Alice is CMB, Vice President of Training and Education at Union Home Mortgage. Our good friends Bill Cosgrove and Alan up there do a great job. And we appreciate you, Alice, for being here since the beginning and jumping in there when my phone line goes dead or when I go on vacation.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Well, can I say one other thing? Happy belated birthday. Our listeners
thank you.
Need to know it was Dave's birthday on Saturday.
Yes, it was. Thank you. So kind of you. We had a good time. Enjoyed it. And those birthdays, you know what I mean? At some point this age, you just kind of go like, okay, they're coming. So, yes, I turned 69. Hard to believe. Tried retiring. It just didn't work for me. I found this consulting and podcasting, and I found a new energy here. Love what we're doing, and I love who we're doing it with. Alice, thank you so much. You've been there since the beginning, and I value the friendship and the relationship. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Want you to stay on for the whole podcast interview, Darius, with us. Enjoy you getting your thoughts on this as well. Folks, we're going to just give a brief mention to Knowledge Coop, but I want to tell you, if you're looking for a fun and easy training technology tool, I strongly encourage you to go ahead and please check out Knowledge Coop. You can go to knowledgecoop.com, powered by the Smart Digital Platform, and we're very grateful to have them with us as sponsors.
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Coop. Do you need to teach a course? Have you considered maybe using the Socratic method? See, it's a process of using questions that engage learners to question their assumptions in order to eliminate contradictions. The primary goal is not to have listeners try to answer unanswerable questions, but to get them to develop critical thinking and to keep them engaged in your topic. Have you got some training to do? Check out the Knowledge Coop for fun and easy video-based training for the mortgage professionals out there. And it's all powered by a smart digital platform.
Let's run over to Alan Pollack with this week's tech update. How you doing, friend? Good to hear your voice.
I'm doing great. Happy birthday as well. It almost feels like yesterday, right?
Yeah, it does. Yes, that's too funny.
Alice did an awesome job last week. Sorry we missed you. I gave some sort of podcast facts last week. I'll just start this week off with two facts to sort of tail off of those. They were great. Did you know, and we should modify this for our industry, David. 15% of Americans listen to a podcast at least once a month. And of those, we consume more than 105 minutes of audio per day than the average American. So I know that we're zoned and dialed in this industry. The numbers have to be much more than 15%. But we should try and figure that number out at some point in time. But interesting facts nonetheless.
Yeah, well, I'm really pleased with the listener base that we have. Again, we need love to have better tracking tools to know all that stuff. But I mean, we're here to put out information. But I was flattered when they said they go to the top of the list if they say they'll listen to our podcast, and they brought up your tech segment. They
awesome.
Love that. So
I love it.
Well, anyway,
driving in a car right now, feel free to honk. You ever heard that before?
yeah. Yes.
All right, let's move on. So this week we've got I only took one thing from the news. You know, this was really interesting to me, and I think this company has really come a long way. Simple Nexus, they just released that the announcement was three tools designed to help originators build stronger relationships. One of the three was already mentioned earlier this year I talked about, but let me just give you the three of them. They're really cool. The first one is loan originators can now create co-branded mobile apps for realtor partners to share with their borrowers. Hmm. And what they do is they keep those partners up to speed on loan progress, mortgage calculators, and other tools. But for the borrowers, they have an integrated home search showcase with available properties within their borrower app. So they're giving that digital home search capability. They add the integration with all the different parties involved. So that's really cool. And then the third item is their kiosk mode. So you remember earlier this year, we talked about how they have kiosks now. So Simple Nexus has really, what they've done is they've got the ability for an originator to take multiple back-to-back applications on a tablet or a laptop computer at an open house and at those model homes. So really interesting. You know, David, we continue to see mobile enabling. We continue to see marketing go mobile. This is really, you know, driving to where I think more efficiencies will continue to go.
Yep.
And then, you know, to outsource or not to outsource, I almost feel like I need Les Parker in a parody to introduce the section, or to offshore or not to offshore. And this is a big topic.
Or to AI.
You know,
yes,
that's right. So this is a really big topic. There's a lot of opinions around this. Who has failed? Who has not failed around outsource development? And you don't have to be a tech company to be looking at doing this outsource. And I think a lot of us have heard really good success stories, but think that there's more negative or unsuccessful stories than there are the other. And really, you know, I myself have been extremely successful over the last 15, 20 years at outsource development. I've done it a few times. There's a formula to make it work. But I did some research, and I wanted to see if there was anything specific in our field or our industry. There's a company, some of you may have heard of it. It's called Fullscale.io. I got a great article that I read. We can put the link in the show notes. But what it talks about is really what their formula is. And, you know, if you consider, the article talks about really making offshore development work is actually its own skill that every IT executive has to learn in this day and age. And I couldn't agree with that more, because it's not that you will outsource your entire project, but to get some of those really core competencies and even those test and discovery projects done, you really need that inexpensive, sometimes even more experienced team to help you out with that. And really what I have here is an interesting link to a book that's in that article that's called The Million Dollar Bedroom. And it's from the founder of Fullscale. And what he talks about is that he has a formula. If you hire somebody for $100 an hour, thinking, you know, generically, They should provide four times the value of someone you would hire at $25 an hour. And they should have, you know, stronger work output, knowledge, management, and everything else. In the U.S., the problem is that the answer is usually no. There's so many other factors. And so a lot of people still want to go to this outsource model, but they don't understand the cost model. And they do see a lot of companies out there that say, hey, we can do offshore development. We can do it for $15 an hour. Then you'll see some that'll say, I can do it for $30 an hour. And the real difference between those two is that you're not driving the work in some of them. And so they're truly outsourced rather than being what's really
right.
called offshore. And you're hiring people to take the keys. It's like you hire someone that in the article refers to mow your lawn. You don't care. You don't need to worry about it. You give them the keys. They show up. They mow your lawn. But you wouldn't do the same thing with software development. And so there's really – There's a number of different ways that you can be successful at this. We'll get into those different reasons next week so we can talk in more detail. But the number one thing that I want to mention is the goal is not always to hire the cheapest talent, but the goal is to hire the best talent. And you can be very successful with offshore development. So, David, next week we'll talk about some of the things you can do to really stay honed in and be, you know, maybe even start a test project and be really successful at that. And really be able to, you know, be more successful at your software development projects.
Yeah, Well, you are one of the sources you can offshore outsource to, and I appreciate that. Alan, good job. What's the name of that company again? And we'll put the link in there, but Full Scale?
It is, yeah, fullscale.io. And I'll send the link out to the show notes.
Good. Very good. Someone just wanted it. They just shot back and says, thank you. Appreciate them asking for that. They're looking that up right now. Appreciate it so much. I want to call attention to Finastra and the interview I did with Dan Putney with Eric Schaub. Alan just talked about the importance of mobile apps, how everything's going mobile. Mobile, mobile, mobile. We've all known that for years. It's been happening. It's been going on for a while. But their MortgageBot app is one that you really need to check out. They say, and I'm hearing from their customers that used to compete more aggressively against some of the other ones that have a rocket engine attached to it, Rocket Mortgage. And they say that theirs is the Rocket Mortgage killer, app killer. They will absolutely do more, and you need to check it out. So go to our webpage. Look it on Lending, and go download and listen to the interview that we have up there with Eric Schaub, Vice President of Mortgage Lending at Bank Midwest. It's a good product, good tool, and we're grateful to have Finastra as our sponsors. I'm looking forward to hearing Andy Schell. Excited to hear what you got there, friend. And he and I are going to actually get together. We talk about having barbecue, but we're actually doing it this Friday. I'm looking forward to it. Andy, I have a whole series I want to do on leadership on our future podcast. I think it's such a critical topic and one that's near and dear to you. But let's talk about what the Profit Doctor has on his mind today.
Hey, Dave. So I'm looking forward to getting together with you on Friday for lunch, Thursday, whatever it is, for lunch soon.
Friday.
I'm anxious to talk to you about some of the commercials about communication. Very interesting stuff.
Yes.
So getting started.
Lots. Yes.
The Profit Doctor. So it's September this week, and you believe it. September starts this week. So that means it's time to tune up those cash flow forecasts. Again, the Profit Doctor, we talked about profit. We talked about how to be successful. You got to have a cash flow to run your business. So you've got to make sure that you have a cash flow forecast that looks forward at least 90 days. And ideally, do your best to anticipate your cash flow all the way to next May. You got to get through the winter months. Hopefully, everybody's been storing up their squirrel nuts, given the year we've had for 2019, much better than 2018. But we always have the decline in the fall. Now, who knows what's going to happen with refi? Don't count on it. Don't assume it. Plan on purchase only. Plan on normal purchase cycles. See what your cash flow does. And if you've got extra, then great. But be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. So in addition to that, just real quick, kind of tee up a little bit what Dave's talking about. So profit comes from success. And success comes from design. Now, I've talked about think, plan, act, adjust. And this is very simple. Think, plan, act, adjust. It can be applied to anything, to career planning, to companies, to a loan originator, increasing their volume. Think, plan, act, and adjust is very, very simple. So for mortgage lending, I think that success is a little bit more complicated. We need to blend entrepreneurship along with business strategy to make a company able to respond to any business circumstance. So what I have an interest in is expanding this content. So just like Harvard Business School produces Harvard MBAs, and Harvard MBAs run Fortune 100 companies, and they all know the plan for success. They know how to create success in a company that's sustainable, and they do it over and over and over and over and over. That's why the Fortune 100 companies rarely change which companies are in the group. I mean, it moves around when there's technical disruption like Google. But generally, they stay there. So part of this plan for success, and success leads to profit, includes a bunch of different topics. I'm just going to mention them now, and we're going to circle back and cover more of them later. But they're words that actually have very deep meaning, and they actually have quite a bit of complexity beyond the word. But I'm just going to mention the word for now. So we've got strategy, structure, and leadership. Dave mentioned we're going to talk more about leadership, tons and tons and tons of detail on leadership. There's also culture, organizational design, adaptability. Adaptability is hugely important. You also have to be able to identify critical path elements, understand market dynamics, and identify market trends. These are all things that you learn in MBA school. You also need to be able to inspire employees. Now, that's harder. That's not necessarily taught in school. That's something that Dave's really good at. You also have to understand financial, statistical, and accounting principles. And this is one of the harder ones. You've got to be able to implement effective hiring practices. It's not as easy as it sounds. Actually, it's very difficult. So I'm working on this plan to take the think, plan, act, adjust to the next level. So that means that when we take it to the next level, we're working on a training program, and that's going to include understanding the statistically based formation of strategy. It's not just something random. And the implementation of tactics based on behavioral psychology that lead to business success. Because you have to have all of that. It's not just push harder and hope it works. It's all very deliberate. This stuff is very, very well thought out and considered. Now, we know that the implementation of knowledge like this will make a difference in business. It's proven over and over and over. That's why big companies hire people with master's degree in business administration. So we're going to be taking all that knowledge and converting it into training through a series working with Dave and actually the MBA as well to help people be able to focus on success, because success leads to profit. And that's what we do. That's what my tagline is, the profit doctor. Dr. Shell, the profit doctor. So that's part of what it's going to be. And I look forward, Dave, to contributing to the leadership section in Lickin' on Lending.
Yeah, it's the number one thing that we're getting requests on, Andy, is leadership. We're really struggling with leadership. We're leadership in the industry, leadership in our company, leadership in our department. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. Again, we try to respond, listeners, to what you request, and we're thrilled to get those in from so many of you. So appreciate it. Thank you, Andy. Well, at this point, we end the regular podcast, and we are now shifting over. So those of you who are listening live, we just continue right on. But for those of you that are listening on the download, this is the weekly podcast. We're going to take a break. That we'll just stay right here because you'll be joined right in on the Hot Topic segment, which we're going to go to now. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Resex, the Warehouse Lending Division of United Bank, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, as well as Velma, Knowledge Coop, which is a great training platform, Vidyard, and AI Assist. Thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate you being here. Have a great week, and be sure to come back next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.